This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Well, well, well. Look who came back to work after a long weekend down in the D.C. swamp where I was covering the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And man, oh boy, oh man, did we put up some numbers at that shindig.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
Well, it was a fabulous way to go through the weekend, Dean Wormer, and we will recap it off the top of today's big episode of Fox Across America with your main man, Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. You know the rules on the show, regardless of where we're doing it or where we're coming back from. This is, of course, an audio safe space for cool people, which means you can agree, you can disagree. It doesn't matter, okay? I am not doing a conservative talk show. I am doing an American talk show.
Freedom!
But all that really means is that you can be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, you could be a Libertarian, you could be an Independent. Just don't be a bang. Happy Monday, everybody. And if you were a part of our experience down in D.C. this past weekend, certainly a round of applause for you. And to everybody who watched our live coverage from the red carpet, you guys certainly get one of these as well. There you go. And as far as the performances, Biden, he did a stand-up routine off the prom.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. And Colin Jost went up and told a couple of jokes, then got really pandery at the end.
That was embarrassing.
We'll recap all of it. But this is all just a fancy way of me saying happy Monday. And I am pulling my life back together after a wild one. We went to the White House on Friday, and they were nice enough to let us walk around the entirety of the place. We saw Marine One land. We were in the press room. At one point, we thought we saw Commander the Dog.
This could be a problem.
It wasn't. It was a different German Shepherd, but we filmed some footage of that as well that we'll be sharing on my Saturday Night Show this weekend. But ma'am, I don't even know where to start. It was truly an incredible thing. So obviously, thank you to Fox for letting us do it. Thank you to everybody who tuned in. It sounds like a lot of you did. Hot damn. And we were live from the red carpet where we fulfilled our mission statement. You know how I say on this show, you know, we'll hang out with Democrats because America is all about cross-pollination. The country wasn't built on agreement. Country was built on disagreement. The reason we have the Constitution is because they knew we were never going to agree on everything politically. So we'd have a series of checks and balances that would force us to prioritize a greater good compromise.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Okay, we don't do a lot of that greater good compromising in this day and age. There's so much political pugilism. So the one thing I am trying to accomplish with whatever my, you know, finite amount of time in the sphere of relevance happens to be, is I'm trying to make people cool. That's what we say. This show is not the Republican Party. This show is not the Democratic Party. This show is very much the Keg Party. And we had a fabulous keg party in Washington, D.C. We had members of NBC on the air with me Saturday night, Lester Holt, Al Roker, Savannah Guthrie. Okay, we're on Fox News. We had people from The Daily Show on Fox News. I mean, go figure. Senator John Fetterman came on Fox News. And by the way, okay, he, you know, on a night that was reserved for, you know, it was going to be friendly fire, we weren't going to, you know, be hostile to each other, Fetterman got politically hostile, but not towards the Republicans, towards his fellow Democrat, Bob Menendez.
He should be behind bars!
Fetterman made fun of Menendez for embezzling gold bars, and I continue to be impressed. And we will get to Fetterman's time with me on the red carpet later in the show. But I continue to be impressed by his ability to take the right positions. Fetterman also will play some clips today of him lowering the boom on the protesters that are up in Colombia right now and think they're changing the world by eating sushi and camping in tents.
Not even close!
No, they're idiots. Complete idiots. And his willingness to call that out, okay, in the face of potential pushback within his own party, because you know the Democratic squad wing of the party loves Hamas.
AOC is a dope.
But it's not just AOC. It's the Ilhan Omars of the world. So Rashida Tlaib's of the world. So the fact that Fetterman does the right thing, whether he's calling out members of his party or anything else he sees as egregious, is commendable. Because at the end of the day, what I'm trying to create in media, and it's certainly what we went far out of our way to do Saturday night, is bring people together. That's what we're trying to do. So the event as a whole for us was phenomenal. Like, we had a really wild time. If you have questions about what it's like to be in the White House or what it's like to be at the red carpet or to be near the president or to be near Kamala, we did all of this. Okay, I even have a video that we showed on the show Friday night, because I actually hung out with KJP.
She's worse than Kamala.
Stop it, Lincoln. KJP, to her credit, I think she's uniquely bad at the gig. I do think the White House puts her in a terrible position, because don't forget, she is out there speaking on behalf of the least popular president in the history of this country. Joe Biden, for whatever you think of the guy, for whatever you thought of his stand-up routine, he is the least popular incumbent to ever seek re-election.
Biden sucks.
Everybody in the country feels that way. We'll get to polling on it. So imagine if you are the mouthpiece for a guy who is historically unpopular, is given to making up stories like cannibals ate his uncle, or he saved six people's lives, or, you know, the Secret Service protection he had as a senator. Even though senators don't get Secret Service protection.
This man needs a retirement home and a warm bowl of soup.
The point is, it's hard to come off good when you're the official mouthpiece for someone who's that bad.
That's true. That is true.
But as a guy who's trying to give you the people behind the politics, I will tell you this. KJP, we hung out Friday night, and she cut a video for my mom, who, to be fair, doesn't think she's the White House spokesperson. My mom absolutely thinks she's Tracy Chapman. I'm not kidding. She's like, oh, I can't believe you met the lady who sings Fast Car. That's amazing. But the point is, she was cool. And NBC people were cool. The Daily Show people were cool. We're capable of being cool is the point. And that's what we were trying to prove on Saturday night.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
So there you go. As it pertains to the performances, did we dig them? Okay, here's the thing. So Biden went on. He did about 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes of actual, like, jokes they had written for them. And they weren't particularly bad jokes. I loved the Lauren Boebert joke he told, where he talked about, you know, they say Congress is a theater. But that can't be true, because if it was a theater, Lauren Boebert would have been thrown out a long time ago. I mean, dude, come on, give him credit for that. Okay, if we're going to do this thing where we say comedy should be about hitting both sides, we should all be able to laugh at the fact that we had a sitting congresswoman thrown out of a movie theater because she had her hand down a guy's pants.
I love it when you talk dirty.
You can't really moralize on the Republican side of the aisle. Our nominee is Donald Trump, who's on trial for paying hush money to a porn star that he shagged.
Oh, yes. I've read about that in the Bible.
It did happen, okay? So we're not going to moralize on this show and act like we're any better than they are. Okay, but the reality is that was a funny joke. Biden didn't do a particularly bad thing, but he did what most Democratic presidents have done. He borrowed from the Obama playbook, which is you open up with 3 or 4 minutes of jokes, and then you sermonize about the importance of the next election and how evil the other party is, and now there's no reason to vote for anybody but you because you're an honest and decent man. And
that is a lie.
Okay, and that's where Colin Jost lost me, too. Colin Jost has a boring style in a big room like that. And what I mean by that is when you're performing in a room that big, you need to be aggressive. You need to keep the show moving because the potential for table talk and for you to lose the room's attention, for people to kind of, you know, de-invest in the moment, it's so vast. And if you noticed, what Colin was doing is he'd read a joke and then he'd look around and smirk or smile or even react to the joke. But he worked so slowly that there was no momentum in the room.
You gotta do better than that.
I mean, again, am I mad at the guy? Am I telling you he's not funny? Of course not. And the guy went home with Scarlett Johansson at the end of the night.
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, so believe me, okay, the guy's doing okay. But the point is, if I'm ever lucky enough, if the Republicans ever win and I'm lucky enough to host that dinner, we will murder in that room. And we won't go there to murder by attacking the media and not making friends. The whole point of comedy is to be funny. And to Colin Jost's credit, he was funny when he told some jokes. I mean, one of the best jokes of the night was an anti-Biden joke where he said, I was going to bring my Weekend Update co-host Michael Che. But like Joe Biden, I decided to lose my black support. I mean,
come on, man.
That was funny because black voters are turning on Joe Biden. Now, Colin Jost didn't mention any of the stories about Biden talking about cannibals or any of the 18-wheeler delusions we saw the week before. None of that went on. He kind of took a kid glove treatment. But then at the end of his set also, he said, you know, you got to vote for Joe Biden. The last person my grandpa voted for before he died was Joe Biden because decency's on the ballot.
Wrong.
Okay. Decency, to be clear, has nothing to do, okay, with how we should vote in this election. Why? Because it wasn't decent of Joe Biden to open our border and let 10 million illegal migrants enter the country. It created a humanitarian crisis that's led to record levels of fentanyl poisoning deaths and record levels of child sex trafficking victims at the border. It's not decent. It's not decent, okay, to fire people from their jobs for refusing to take a vaccine that you yourself bashed when you were campaigning, only to make it mandatory the second you got into office.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Nor was it decent to say half the country is semi-fascist because they voted for Trump, a guy who didn't condemn neo-Nazis and white nationalists.
And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally.
And it wasn't decent for Biden to say he condemns anti-Semitic protests, but he also condemns the people who don't get the anti-Semitic protesters. Okay, that's a way of saying, okay, you know, these people, I'm not saying they're right. I condemn the anti-Semitic protests, but these people do have a point. I mean, dude.
That is absolutely the most ridiculous excuse I have ever heard in my entire career as a disciplinarian.
Okay, so Biden has not been decent as a commander-in-chief. He did a decent job of getting through the speech on Saturday night, because when they called his name to the podium, he walked in the right direction and he didn't read the stage direction. Okay. But he did divide the country by lying about Trump's bloodbath comments, by lying about Trump's dictator comments, by lying about the democracy's on the ballot comments. I mean,
Democrats are so full of crap.
Would you shut up? Okay. And Colin, you know, funny enough, but he could have done without the pandering at the end is all I would say. And heaven forbid we ever get our hands on that podium. Believe me, we will change the game. And I'm not saying that from a place of arrogance. I've just been in the room for three of these now and seen how you execute in a room that big. But that being said, I don't agree with anything the president does, but it was a really unique event. And I would be wrong if I didn't thank the White House because, yeah, I'm a Fox News guy and we're very critical of the White House. But they welcomed me and my TV team with open arms, and we were everywhere. OK. And everybody was incredibly gracious. There's a lot of Fox fans that work in the White House that were happy to see us. We took a ton of selfies. Everybody was really cool. So for a guy who wants to be the kumbaya port in the storm of politics, it was actually an amazing weekend, like all things considered. It really was. And you know, I don't know that every other network was trying to play nice in the sandbox or go out of their way to play nice in the sandbox, but we certainly were because we're capable of doing that. Because at the end of the day, the Republican Party, okay, is the fun side right now. We're not canceling people. We're not pro-censorship. We're trying to have the idea battle. We're booking liberals on our air. I had a liberal on almost every panel I did Saturday night in either Kevin Walling or one of the, you know, Daily Show correspondents or somebody from NBC. We had a lot of people on our show that were liberal because we were just hanging out. As I say every day, we're not the Republican Party. We're not the Democratic Party. We are the Keg Party. And we did that in full effect this weekend. And it was really cool to execute that. And you can only hope that more people were paying attention, because the truth is, as divided as we are politically, the best thing we could do as a country is get back to living in an America where we are sharing an open bar every day of the week. Because in a newsflash, we are. We live in the most prosperous country the world has ever known, most tolerant and inclusive society the world has ever known. Okay, we are living at the greatest time there's ever been to be alive in terms of technological advancements and the conveniences of modern life. And we're not enjoying any of it because we're letting the political division have way too much say over our happiness, which is all, you know, a fancy way of me saying there's a point to me being such a drunken dirtbag and having such a prominent position in the media. It's that everybody can take heed by not taking themselves so seriously, pull a page out of my playbook, although that's the only page I want any of you to read because I am a mess. Okay. But at the end of the day, we really had an awesome time. We'll take questions on it. Kevin Walling is going to join us later in the show. Andy Biggs will be here to talk about some of the protests. But I promise you, it was a win for the American people. And any night, we could spend just 2 hours putting our political differences aside and enjoying ourselves. I promise you, you'll all be better off for it in the long run. So for that, I am thrilled to be back.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
The critics have spoken.
I really appreciate fine art.
You do?
Yes.
And this isn't it.
Ho, 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 ho.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. It is a Monday return to action that's going to require a lot of heavy lifting from the team because the champ is banged up. We did a whirlwind down in D.C. We saw it all. The White House, the red carpet, Marine One. Everybody. We saw Kamala. We saw her husband. We saw Biden. We saw Jill. It really was intense. It was quite an experience. And we'll be recapping it later in the show. The one thing about the event, though, that really is embarrassing is everybody in the media is showing up there, okay, for the purposes of, you know, it's like I said this earlier, it's like NBA All-Star Weekend for people who were picked last in gym, okay? It has that same vibe. There's a lot of celebrities, a lot of big sponsors, you know, things like that at the parties, okay? You know, a lot of A-list TV talent walking around. You see a lot of Hollywood movie stars walking around. And, you know, they're basically like surrounded by nerds. OK, but after the performances come and go, OK, we on Fox, you might have saw me with a Democrat and a Republican, Katie Pavlich and Kevin Walling, just giving an honest take on the sets and talking comedy. But on the other channels, they really try to go out of their way and sell you on the idea that this was like some type of triumphant success for President Biden.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
Okay, if this is what constitutes a triumphant success, which is not calling out to a dead person or not accidentally reading the stage direction, okay, then yes, you can call it a success, but you should also admit that the bar is so low for your guy, he probably shouldn't be in there to begin with.
I think he's got a point.
I'm going to play you some media reactions to these sets when we're done. Not just mine, okay, because mine was about comedy. Mine was about having a good time. But there were some straight propaganda efforts being made by MSNBC and CNN to tell you this was like the sharpest night in the history of comedy. And
people aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastard.
No, they were not. But we'll play it for you anyway, and we'll get into your calls and texts after this.
Out of the gates and ready to go.
Hey, it's Hutton Withrow. Hot Mike is here on the Outkick Network. We've got your afternoon covered with the latest sports discussion, and it's available wherever you find your audio.
Daily analysis and news. He is hot. I am Mike. Actually, my name is Chad. His name is Jonathan. But you get the picture. We're going to bring it every single day. Whatever you want to call us, we'll respond to. We just want you to respond to what we're dishing out every day.
And while you're here, we hope you subscribe to the podcast, like, subscribe, and share.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, trying to restore order on the show. One of our Monday traditions is we do get our scores. Like it's a gymnastics routine, we perform on the pommel horse, and then we go into the kiss and cry room and hear from the judges. Michael is kind of the Simon Cowell of this show. He joins us now in the V-neck T-shirt. Along, are you with Randy Jackson and Paula Abdul?
I'm more like the comedian, Howie Mandel.
Oh.
We definitely go to the same barber. So,
good job.
Two fun-filled hours Saturday night, buddy. What a fun time for everybody. You rocked it. It was fantastic.
Thanks, man. It was great. It was, as you could tell from watching, it was 2 hours of completely unscripted TV. Completely. It was.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to point any fingers, but some of the people that you talked to looked like they had visited the open bar three or four times before talking to you. They looked like someone who was hammered talking to a cop trying not to look like someone hammered. It was so funny.
I have a list of names, the vast majority of which are female, Michael.
Man,
do they like an open bar down in D.C.? It was crazy.
Oh, but there were so many great cameos. The beautiful Shannon Bream, the radiant Emily Campagno, Katie Pavlich was rocking it. Kevin Walling, you know, stood there like a good guy, the good guy he is. The Deucey Gang,
yep.
How about that? They showed up.
Yep.
Even John Fetterman, like you said earlier, and he had the best outfit of the evening. Wouldn't you agree?
He did. Fetterman, if people didn't see the picture I posted, Fetterman wore a hooded sweatshirt. A hoodie with a black tie on it. Like it was a sweatshirt dressed up to be like a tuxedo, and he put cufflinks on it and everything. I mean, listen, if you can get away with it, why the hell not?
Well, you know, it's like he gets the joke.
I mean,
he gets it. It's so cool. He seems like such a good guy. You know, like you keep saying, even if he is a Democrat, he's a good guy. Just like the NBC crew that stopped by. Now, Lester Holt looked like he was going, why are we talking to this guy?
Yep.
But then Al Roker was nice to the Fox guy.
Yep.
That was so cool.
Because, like,
the
way it works, Michael, is like you're on the red carpet. Everybody's walking in. And you can just grab people and like, hey, I want to ask you one question. So all I was doing with people, especially people from rival networks, is I was just telling them, hey, we're going to do a cool 2-minute interview and just throw the mic in their face. I'm like, none of this is going to be hostile. Just have a good time. Ready, set, go. And you just get into it with them.
Nice.
And
nice.
You know, I'm kind of really comfortable in that environment. So people were cool. Like, I can't promise you the MSNBC show was trying to flag down Fox News talent. CNN was standing right next to me, and they certainly weren't. But I get on fine with everybody, you know, because it's a keg party.
Yes, and then the Daily Show comics, they were cordial.
Yes.
And there again, they prove, hey, we're all in this together. Comedy's universal. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I imagine your favorite guests were the ambassadors from Ireland and Great Britain. Those ladies, I bet, were a hoot, weren't they?
They were both hilarious. I mean, the Irish ambassador, Geraldine, was talking to me about, you know, how they can outdrink us and outparty us and blah, blah, blah. And then the poor British ambassador, because I made a joke about Harry and Meghan. She did politely ask that we not air that. And I was like, oh, too late. We just did. Nothing we can do.
Uh-oh.
I know. I should have lied and sold her the tape and told her it wouldn't air, even though it already did.
Oops. Oh, well.
She was nice.
Look, and you wandering around the White House compound, I imagine you saw plenty of red laser dots, but there were no cats in sight. Am I right?
Good for you. They were pretty nice. So this Saturday on the Saturday Night Show, we're going to air stuff you didn't see this week. Because, I mean, we saw it all, man. Like, we were there. We were in the halls of the White House. We went and saw Marine One Lance. We were on the South Lawn also. And it was really intense, but they were cool. That was the one thing I took away from it is what we're doing on the show, it really is working. And what I mean by that is in terms of, like, trying to find people in either party that are cool. Like, when the British ambassador comes up to you and says that we watch your show in London to, you know, you're how we get our American politics and we find it to be really funny. I mean, you know, you're reaching an audience, you know. You also know you have to stop drinking in the lobby bar immediately. So you'll be proud of this.
You know, I am so happy you're saying it. If you ever get to that podium, oh, my gosh, you need to sell that as a pay-per-view event, buddy, because I would pay to watch what went on all around there if you were at that podium. Because, Colin Jost did all right. You pointed out. He's a funny guy, but there was a lot of pandering. He could have left that out.
Yeah, it was really
funny. There were some good like he said, like he was pointing to Kamala's husband, I can relate to him going home, the second guy going home with Scarlett Johansson. That was pretty funny.
Doug. Yeah, that was good. It was, listen, on the whole, it was a successful night. And we honestly, man, we had a really great time, but I did not do, because there was just so much media attention and press attention on me for the weekend. I did all of my drinking when I got home. I was actually very well behaved at the White House. I might add 3 drinks in Washington, D.C. this weekend. And then I got home yesterday and me and Jenny drank till the cops came. And it was a win.
Poor Jenny.
Yeah.
You had Lincoln. Lincoln was going out to bring Grubhub and stuff, bring him more booze. More booze, Lincoln.
Yeah, he earned his. Well, he went out to bring smelling salt so I could make it to Fox and Friends this morning, because I was in bad shape. But we got it done.
Wow.
Michael, I'm glad you caught it. Here's to a big week, but we survived the swamp. We got the win, Michael. Take a bow.
Congratulations, buddy.
My
great
man.
Job.
Have a great week. I'll see you. There he goes, the great Michael. Calls in every Monday.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
But Michael is in on the joke. We've met Michael in person. He has hung out with myself and my wife. What we're doing is a little bit different than what everyone else in politics is doing. We're you know, obviously taking these conversations very seriously when it comes to the issues, but we're not taking ourselves seriously at all. At all. Like, not even kind of, not even sort of. Life is too short to be mad all night. You don't want to be mad all night. It's exhausting. It's exhausting. My goodness. Like, do you know where we live? Like, we live in America, man. Like, you don't understand it. Like, if you grew up in this country, you have no perspective. Even if you think you do, you don't. You know, as a guy who drove a cab and would pick up people at international airports, you know, dozens of times during the week, people come here from the rest of the world, and they really are so blown away by the idea that they could even be here. Because there are so many freedoms you have here that don't exist in other places. There is a quality of life here that doesn't exist in most places in the world. So it would help to bring more perspective to our politics, and that's what I'm always trying to do. But it was not perspective, okay, to hear the shill job that went on after Biden's speech. Now, again, Biden's speech on Saturday night was fine. You know, he told a couple of jokes. I'll give you one or two. Here he is joking about the fact that the New York Times is complaining that he's not giving them access. Clip one.
To all my friends in the press and Fox News,
there you go.
Some of you complain that I don't take enough of your questions. No comment. Of course, the New York Times issued a statement blasting me for, quote, active and effectively avoiding independent journalists. Hey. If that's what it takes to get the New York Times to say I'm active and effective, I'm for it.
Uh-huh. But he was speaking to the fact that the New York Times called Biden out on Friday, saying they're not getting enough press access. The New York Times. Okay, but a lot of media outlets feel that way. I interviewed Peter Ducey at the White House, and he said in the beginning of the Biden administration, he was around and he would be near reporters a lot more often, maybe once a week. Now you're literally covering the groundhog, okay? You based the weather predictions on whether or not the president saw his shadow on the rare occasion that he avails himself to the media. They're very much playing a prevent defense, okay? And when you hear the speech come and go, which again, you know, like a C+, he did fine, told some throwaway jokes, people laughed, and then gave us the big speech about democracy on the ballot. Here's that portion of it, clip 3.
I'm sincerely not asking of you to take sides, but asking you to rise up to the seriousness of the moment. Move past the horse race numbers and the gotcha moments and the distractions, the sideshows that have come to dominate and sensationalize our politics. and focus on what's actually at stake. And I think in your hearts you know it was at stake. The stakes couldn't be higher. Every single one of us has a role to play, a serious role to play, in making sure democracy endures, American democracy. I have more of my role, but in all due respect, so do you. In the age of disinformation, credible information that people can trust is more important than ever.
Oh, boy. I mean,
shut up. Will you shut up?
Okay. If you want to talk about, disinformation, and again, I don't want to get on a tangent here. Okay. The Democrats told you if you got vaccinated, you couldn't catch COVID. The Democrats told you Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. The Democrats told you the border is closed. The Democrats told you that Afghanistan was the most successful airlift in American history. We could go on for days, okay, whether we're talking about the bloodbath comments he went on to make or anything in between, okay? The media and the attempt that was made to sell Biden, okay, was so embarrassing. And again, most people there in person put their differences aside, got drunk, and were like, hey, nice to see you, because that's what we're supposed to be doing as Americans. We're not supposed to be this hostile to people who, you know, harbor different views than we do. Okay, but the media trying to say, like, this was this stunning moment of leadership, and this is the moment Joe Biden won the second election. Like, listen to Rick Wilson. So Rick Wilson, he's a dirtbag. He's a political grifter. He was a longtime Republican that became an anti-Trump, you know, member of the Lincoln Project. The only thing they like more than bashing Trump is, I don't even know that I can talk about what they like more than bashing Trump, but it involves people who aren't old enough to vote. But anyway, here is Rick Wilson telling you Biden proved he was sharp, clip six.
It's that sort of trope about don't just talk about the horse race, talk about the stakes.
Right.
And he laid the stakes out, I think, very clearly tonight. And I think you're exactly right. He was not afraid to go and lean in a little bit and throw a couple punches. And again, just like last year, just like he does at the State of the Unions, he steps up for these big events. He proves that he is sharp and gets it. And this isn't some guy who's doddering along. He understands how big this fight is. He understands how important the calling of this moment is.
Yeah,
and I think he really did very well tonight.
Not even close. Okay, first of all, they halved the dosage from the State of the Union. Like, they almost killed him with whatever they shot him up with at the State of the Union. He was a lot more lethargic Saturday night. He looked tired. He moved a lot slower. Okay, but when he talks about, you know, he's sharp and he gets, listen, he did fine. Okay, but you didn't walk away from it going, this guy's sharp and he gets it. You said, I laughed at some of it. I could have done without him basically calling half the country white supremacists. Here is Zerlina Maxwell, though, on MSNBC, saying Biden showed he was the adult in the room. Clip seven.
I think he kind of took the age issue, spun it, and played it to his advantage like a smart politician would. He's not shying away from it. He acknowledges it, but also acknowledges that with that comes this tremendous vision, this ability to be able to kind of distance themselves from the other senile guy that he's running against.
Exactly. I think that he showed that he was the adult in the room.
Right.
That age
right.
is not something that is hurting him, that it is actually one of his assets because of the experience that he has. But also, he, again, leaned in on a collective responsibility. I think calling out the press, helping them to understand what theirs is in this day and age and in this time where democracy is at stake. I think that people did believe it was hyperbole. It's not. We're yeah. watching it every single day erode. And I think that he is really putting everything out there to fight for it.
You must be crazy. When are you going to stop believing in something that isn't true?
I mean, really, though, when you hear her say, I think he showed that he was the adult in the room, that, you know, yes, he's old, but with that age comes tremendous vision, this ability to be able to distance themselves from the other senile guy he's running against. Everybody who's trying to make the case for Biden having wisdom conveniently disregards the fact that 80% of the country think we're going in the wrong direction under his wisdom.
Biden is such a disaster.
Okay, if you look at the new polling that's out right now, it's a CNN survey. CNN survey. CNN, which is not exactly Trump Weekly.
CNN is the worst.
Well, whatever. CNN was plenty nice on Saturday, and I'm not going to spend an hour bashing them. Okay, but the latest CNN survey has Trump up 6 points against Biden in a head-to-head survey.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
Okay. The poll also found that 61% of registered voters consider Biden's presidency a failure. 61% of CNN viewers consider Biden's presidency a failure. Okay? Understand, this goes a step further. Okay? Only 39% said Biden's presidency has been successful. So when you hear commentators say, like, oh, he proved, you know, he's old, but he knows what he's doing. He's a sharp leader. Okay? Nobody who's objectively watching this presidency thinks any of that is true. Nobody. Okay, according to an NBC poll, 86% of Americans have concerns about Biden's age. They're not concerned that his age comes with too much wisdom. They're concerned that his age is running our country into the ground. Okay, so when you look at the polling disparity between Biden and Trump, something Colin Jost joked about. He's like, hey, this guy's been indicted 91 times and the race is still tied. Okay, yes, it is shocking that Biden could be that bad, that the race would be tied against a guy who's been indicted 91 times. But those indictments are reflective of the country as a whole under Biden. Okay, there's been a political persecution, and that's what a lot of people see these prosecutions as. And there's just been an overall ineptitude that makes people reevaluate their relationship with the Trump presidency. They go, wow, you know all the things we were mad about for 4 years? They didn't matter. It didn't matter that he tweeted. I didn't always like it. It didn't matter that he insulted people. I didn't always like it. You know, he said a lot of crass things. I didn't always like it. But you know what I did like? Having money in the bank. You know what I did like? Not getting pickpocketed by a migrant street gang when I walked down the street. You know what I did like? Not being on the verge of World War III. And that's why you find yourself in the position that you do, where they have to wage a propaganda effort to say Biden's speech was stronger than it was because they've got nothing else they can possibly sell you on.
Bingo.
You're listening to the most addictive show on the radio.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Got a lot going on today. Kevin Wallen's going to be here. Andy Biggs is going to be here. At the end of the show today, I will reveal the thing that surprised me the most based on my experience at the White House. One thing shocked me more than anything else. I've never been to the White House, okay? I'm more of a White Castle kind of guy, okay? As houses go, more of a Waffle House kind of guy. But it was fascinating to be there. And one thing jumped out at me above all else that I don't think is ever discussed about life at the White House. That must be a reality in every administration. So I will share that with you at the end of the show today. And I'll get into some of that with Kevin Walling, a guy who worked for the Biden campaign.
This is the biggest schmuck I've ever met.
Maybe so. But he's my buddy. As are you, which means you got to stick around in the next hour because Andy Biggs is coming by and we're going to have a grown-up talk about the campus protesters who've been given a 2 p.m. Eastern deadline to pack up their tents and go home, but the kids are still crying.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. Here we go. Here we go. Back in action on a big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking to Arizona Representative Andy Biggs, who is counting down the minutes, as is the rest of the country, towards the end of these on-campus demonstrations. Multiple schools across the country giving protesters until 2 p.m. Eastern to pack up the tents, the sushi tents, the interpretive dance routines, and get off the campus. I don't know how this is going to go because these universities have not shown a lot of teeth so far. Yesterday, the American flag removed at Harvard University and replaced with the Palestinian flag.
That's not right.
It really isn't. It's an embarrassing spectacle. We'll get into some of it. And we will also commend one Democrat in this hour because, to his credit, John Fetterman, who joined me on the red carpet Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, told a media reporter yesterday that when it comes to the people doing the protesting over at these college campuses, they're all a bunch of dirtbags, okay? They're all a bunch of losers. So for that, Fetterman, a round of applause. 888-788-9910, whether you agree or you disagree. Okay? There is no rule. There is no ideological barrier for entry when you come on this show. You don't have to be on my side.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. Okay? But this is an across-the-board thing. So George Washington University right now, they're ordering protesters to get out of the university yard. Columbia ordering protesters to get out of the yard. It's happening all over the country, okay? The campuses realize this is an embarrassment, but bigger than that is that it's starting to affect their bottom line because major donors, especially if you're a donor of Jewish, you know, heritage, okay, you want nothing to do with cutting checks to a university that's allowing people to call for your complete and total extermination.
Bingo, man, bingo.
Okay, when you hear the Hamas chant from the river to the sea, that chant means no more Jews. That's what it means. That's why you have actual donors saying, hey, I'm not cutting any checks for this. This is outrageous. And that's why the schools are finally starting to act, because it is affecting their bottom line.
Bingo, man, bingo.
Okay. And there are prominent members of the liberal community calling it out, not just Fetterman. Here is Bill Maher. And Bill Maher, okay, he's not listening to my show, I can assure you of that. But everything he's saying in this clip is something I've been saying to you for the last part of 4 years. Protesting in this country has become a brand. It's not about the cause. It's about the currency. And what I mean by that is when people get out there and protest, they post it on social media and they want you to see them. Hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Okay. When people get out there and cancel something, they never cancel something on behalf of an aggrieved community and then go back and revisit the issues those grave, you know, gravely affected communities are facing. Like, to give you an example, Native Americans, okay, suffer from the shortest life expectancies in this country. Highest rates of diabetes, alcoholism, okay? We addressed that by getting rid of the Washington Redskins mascot.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
Especially when you consider that 90% of Native Americans want that mascot. Why? Because Native Americans donated that mascot to the NFL.
Oh, wow!
Okay, it wasn't white people going, we're going to mock your culture and make you our mascot. Shut up. No, there was a point of pride. Okay, the Redskin, okay, was not about skin color. It was about face paint. It was about the highest nobility that a warrior could achieve would to be one of the chosen Redskins who were allowed to paint their face and lead the warriors, the other braves, into battle. That's what the Redskin logo came from. The man on the helmet, Chief Joe Two Guns, was the pride of the Blackfeet Indian tribe. You understand? They were proud of that logo. And then some woke jackasses were like, we've got to help Native Americans, so we'll just change the halftime show.
Everything woke turns to shit.
But they didn't go back and actually try to help Native Americans once they changed the halftime show.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, when they were done chanting defund the police, okay, did they go back and actually try to help those black communities they claim to care so much about?
The answer would be no.
No, and to be clear, the police were never killing black Americans during the summer of 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24 at a higher rate than other ethnicities, never disproportionate to population size. To this day, the largest segment of the population killed in police interactions are white people, okay? And more cops are being killed than perps by about a 10 to 1 margin, sadly, in this day and age, okay? And the people who bear the brunt of that are the black members of the black community, where the quality of life has gone massively downhill because the protesters who said they cared about them till the election was over and then skipped town. Okay, that's what a climate change protest is. When there's currency, there's protesters. Okay, but in the case of Hamas, nobody cares. Nobody cares that you're too stupid to know the difference between a terror group and their victims. Okay, Hamas is vowing to commit genocide against the Jewish race. Okay, against the Jewish faith. Okay, Israel is not vowing to kill every Muslim on the planet. Okay, Israel has 2 million Muslims living in their country. If they had a Muslim problem, believe me, they wouldn't have 2 million Muslims living there peacefully. Okay, their problem is not with Muslims, it's with terrorists, which Hamas happens to be. Okay, so here is Bill Maher telling you something I've been telling you forever, but it's still refreshing to hear it come from a liberal. Clip 19.
I'm not saying there aren't sincere passions about Gaza, especially among people from the region, but social justice warriors, for a lot of them, it seems like it's more about the warrioring than about whatever the cause is. Are you really speaking truth to power, or do you just think you look cool in a keffiyeh? Which is really just the new Che Guevara t-shirt. Another historical figure you never researched and so think is a hero, but was actually a sadistic, racist monster fighting for communism, the worst form of government ever. But these are small matters. Small matters when activism merges with narcissism. Less about the cause and more about me. Look at me. Watch me. And if you like the way I'm fighting injustice, remember to like and subscribe.
Totally true. That's what cancel culture was. Okay, that's what cancel culture was. Look at me. I'm doing great things for the world. I canceled Aunt Jemima because I am an ally of the black community. So I'm going to take royalty checks away from a black family who's been receiving them for the past 130 years in the name of some type of racial equality. We'll take this black family and beat them out of royalty checks. Same thing with Mrs. Butterworth and Uncle Ben's rice. And look at me. Give me some likes. And that's what they did. That was the whole point of the cancel culture dictionary. If you read my book, New York Times bestseller, by the way, not too shabby. If you read the cancel culture dictionary, the point I'm making is that the people behind these cancels are the biggest losers we've ever met. They're the same people behind these protests. They want the currency. They want the visibility that comes from saying they're out there in the world fighting for some type of justice. But every argument they're making is a straw man argument. Nobody can show you data that Aunt Jemima pancake syrup was harming communities or holding communities back. There's no deliverable. In fact, the delivering stops. The paycheck going to those families stops coming in. Okay, but it's no different than Gaza. When you're camping out in a tent and eating sushi, okay, you're not actually affecting foreign policy. You're just getting a lot of attention. Here's the rest of the Bill Maher clip, clip 20.
Maybe from now on, before anyone commits an act of civil disobedience, they should ask themselves a few questions like, is the most important thing in my life something I hadn't heard of 6 months ago? Do I even know what the f*** I'm talking about? Am I really here for the cause, or is the cause here to bring you me? Why do I care so much about this particular cause? North Korea starves its people. China puts them in concentration camps. Myanmar brutalizes the Rohingya. Boko Haram kidnaps whole villages of women. Nothing? Ukraine? Maybe if these Google employees had the slightest idea what kind of fundamentalist oppressive they're supporting, Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they might take it a little easier on the world's greatest monster, Genocide Joe. Genocide, by the way, is when you want to wipe out an entire people. That's the stated goal of Hamas. That's what from the river to the sea means. Hamas would do that to Israel, but can't. Israel could do that to them, but doesn't.
I admire your honesty.
Okay, that's Bill Maher giving you a little perspective. Okay, the people on these campuses are idiots. I'm not scared of them. They're out yelling anti-Semitic things. Have you seen the Columbia campus? We could walk down there to any two of us, me and anybody else listening, and beat up everybody on the campus. They're, you know, fat, spoiled white kids, pampered white kids. Mom, I don't like the genocide. All right, well, if you don't like genocide, maybe stop supporting Hamas. But here is Fetterman, okay, talking about the obvious anti-Semitism. Fetterman, okay, an elected Democrat in the Senate, okay, who at least tells you the truth. This is clip 21.
It's very clear that there is a very germ of anti-Semitism in all of these protests, you know, and then sometimes it flares up. And again, including one of the leaders in Colombia said some just awful things and talking about, well, they're lucky that I'm not killing Zionists and things like that. And then he defended himself by saying, well, those were taken out of context.
I mean, give me a break. Yeah, no, I said I'm going to kill all the Zionists, but you didn't hear the full quote.
You cannot be serious.
Here's one more. This is clip 22.
That's very similar to the way the college presidents, like same kind of language and those kind of monocultures that create situations and that replicates. And now it's not a surprise that when you're kind of seeing this manifest itself in a campus like this. Now, of course, it's a great American value to protest, but I don't believe living in a pup tent for Hamas is really helpful.
Spot on. And give him a lot of credit for that. Okay, Fetterman is a Democrat. I'm thrilled to have a Democrat to call out. I wish I had more Democrats to call out because I don't root against Democrats. I don't root against Democrats listening to the show. Okay, we live in America. We all live here. We all live here. As it goes, we go. If the whole point is to just hate people who don't agree with you, we're not going to be around for long. You know, the whole divided house will not stand, that whole thing, Abe Lincoln. Okay, you do need to start thinking in those terms because there are so many pimps out there spreading division, race pimps, climate pimps, vaccine pimps, you know, white supremacy, all this stuff, okay? Pro-Hamas pimps, just dividing society, pimping us out and profiting from the division, okay? And it's not working. I mean, understand as a comic how insane it is to me that they were banning comedy on these campuses because they said laughing at things was tantamount to committing violence against them. But now these same colleges are allowing kids to chant death to Israel and everything in between. Okay, why? Because they're a bunch of pampered, fat, spoiled children that no one should take seriously. And the fact that some Democrats are starting to see it for what it is and call it out for what it is a sign that the good side is winning. Okay, when this country is successful, okay, we are able to get along. We are. Okay, we're not unfriending relatives because they vote differently than we are. We're not changing the Thanksgiving plan that we've had for the last 22 years because somebody won an election or lost an election. I'm telling you, that is so destructive and divisive and stupid, and I just won't use the platform to be a part of it. Okay, because there are certain behaviors that we should be able to collectively, condemn. Defund the police are the dumbest three words ever spoken. Defund the police. Dumbest three words ever spoken. You cannot have a society without police. You can't go to the school. You can't go to the mall. You can't go to the protest. Do you know who polices and surrounds every one of these protests? The police.
Correctamundo.
So you're like, all right, hey, we're going to chant defund the police today. So if we could get some permits and know we're going to have some security because we wouldn't want anything bad to happen to us while we're out there defunding the police. So if you could just get the police to protect us, we'd appreciate that.
Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
Seriously. Or go up to Columbia because there's plenty of crackheads who think Hamas is on the right side of this.
Tackling issues of the day in an easy way.
He's all man. He's a big, strong-looking guy.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Here's a little sampling of some of the protests we've heard at Columbia over the weekend. I just want you, it's 20 seconds. This is clip 27.
Tell the f***ing that it's in the middle of the ocean and sick kid.
So that's genocide.
Oh, well.
Israel. Israel's a Israel. Israel's a
So there is only one solution. Intifada revolution means kill all the Jewish people.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Of course. But there are members of the media who are getting out there and saying, oh, these protesters aren't doing anything anti-Semitic. And it's embarrassing. Okay. Again, they are fighting for your right to say, sail the effing Zionist into the middle of the ocean and sink it. So that's a genocide. F Israel. There's only one solution, Intifada revolution. That's the chant. And again, as a comedian, we were told you can't go to Columbia because speech is violence. Now, anyway, we're going to go sink every Jew in the world to the bottom of the ocean because we oppose comedy because speech is violence or something like that. These are idiots. They're idiots. Okay, even Joe Scarborough, someone who I make a healthy living making fun of because he's an absurdity, at least had the good sense to call out the campuses for allowing this. This is clip 23.
I've got to say, it makes as much sense in 2024 having 18 or 19-year-old people running college campuses as it did in 1968, which is to say, doesn't make any sense at all. And you do wonder where the adults are. The adults that are supposed to be running the university, the amount of money that they are paid to educate students, and they can't allow students to go to class because a small subset of those students and outside agitators want to shut down the camp. Where are the adults? It's staggering.
The only reason I can give him partial credit for that is because what everybody on the left is trying to do, because they don't want this to become a political liability, is they are calling out the anti-Israel chants and all of that jazz, but they keep trying to attribute it to outside agitators. Like, oh, no, this isn't our party. These are just some outside agitators. You know, the ones who showed up to every protest and did this. Meaning every liberal protest. Oh, defund the police. That wasn't our party. That was our protest. But it was some outside agitators that got violence. Oh, death to Israel. That wasn't, it was our party. But it was the outside agitators doing the dirty stuff. Do you understand? It all starts with the cause. And all of those causes happen to be Democratic.
Correct the mundo.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Back in action on a Monday. A lot of dumb stuff going on in politics right now. We are trying very much. You know, in Pulp Fiction, and Samuel Jackson's like, I'm trying real hard to be the shepherd, man. We are trying real hard to be the shepherd. Because you look around at the world right now and you...
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Okay, one of the things that is so fascinating about the position we find ourselves in is the new polling out today. And again, you're going to vote whatever way you want to vote. I'm not going to be in charge of who you vote for. Good gosh, do I want nothing to do with that. But if you look at the recent polling that is out today, Trump holds a 6-point head-to-head lead over Biden, which means beyond the margin of error. If it's a 2-point lead, you go, all right, well, it could be tied depending on that 1 or 2-point margin of error. When you hear 6 points, it means Biden's getting clobbered.
Tell it like it is.
Okay, understand that being the case, the people who are tasked with selling Biden to you in the media are starting to take different approaches to making people turn out and vote for him. Okay, they're not going to say, well, the economy's good, stupid, because it's not. Well, the border's good, because it's not. Quality of education, crime, none of it's good. So now they're going to the old, we're one vote away from the end of democracy. This is NBC legal analyst Andrew Weissman. Andrew Weissman, who, by the way, wrote about 90% of the Mueller probe and, oh, by the way, helped the Clinton campaign start the Russian collusion narrative. Okay, you're talking about people investigating the president for a collusion narrative that they and their cohorts started.
It was made up by these sick people.
And now we're going to go ahead and look into this rumor we started because, like you, we've heard the rumor that we started. Okay, that's what Russian collusion was. Andrew Weissman and all of the people, the John Brennans, the James Clappers of the world that helped spread that lie, okay, were rewarded with TV deals. They were not punished. People won Pulitzer Prizes for reporting on Russian collusion, something that was literally created out of thin air by the Clinton campaign because they needed a counter narrative to her private email scandal.
This is politics as usual.
All it was, and everybody working on the case knew it was politics as usual. but they went through with it anyway. But here is Andrew Weissman, rewarded for gaslighting the country. I mean, when they tell you the right wing of this country is conspiratorial, the left wing of this country told you Russia had seized control of our government. I mean,
are you stupid or something?
But that's what they... No, you guys don't understand. Russia's in charge of the government. Don't ever let anybody tell you you're a conspiracy theorist again. Okay, biggest conspiracy theory I ever heard in my life. There were a bunch of people in Washington who said that if you get vaccinated, you can't catch COVID. Does it get any bigger than that? They also told you COVID came because somebody ate a bat. Chinese guy got hungry on his lunch break and ate a bat. That's how COVID started. Okay, bit of a conspiracy. When we all now know, thanks to our intelligence agencies who finally admitted it because they realized they couldn't cover their asses anymore because of all the Freedom of Information Act requests, there were only so many redacted documents you could supply people with before they caught on to the reality that Fauci was funding this very research in a Wuhan lab.
He should be behind bars!
Especially when you consider the lengths Fauci went to throw people off the scent, our ability to combat this virus and its ability to hop from person to person, okay, was very much limited out of the gate by Fauci and the World Health Organization's attempts to distance themselves from the culpability in the scandal. Okay, but these are the people who ultimately get rewarded in the end, make money, get TV deals, and mislead the country. And you get called a conspiracy theorist for questioning them. Okay, Andrew Weissman was part of the biggest conspiracy in the history of the country. Again, we kind of just swept this under the rug and kept walking as if it never happened. People told us Russia was in charge of our government.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Again, I repeat, Russia is in control of our government. That's what they told you. Okay, Andrew Weissman was one of them. Here it is, saying we're one vote away from the end of democracy. Clip 17.
There seemed to be four justices who were really taking Donald Trump's claim of criminal immunity seriously. And we are, I mean, I know it sounds like hyperbole, but I think your opening is so correct that we are essentially, as Neil put it, one vote away from the, sort of the end of democracy as we know it, with checks and balances. And to say it's an imperial presidency that would be created is frankly saying it would be a king. He would be criminally immune. And that is what is so shocking, is how close we are. And we are really on the razor's edge of that kind of result. But for the Chief Justice.
That was absolutely dreadful.
But you understand that's what we're down to now. Like, the argument is not, hey, Biden will do something for the economy. Hey, the border will be fine. No, we're now down to, like, vote for us or there's no more democracy. You're all going to die. Okay? It's, you know, straight clown stuff. Joining us now is a member of the very circus atmosphere we decry in Washington, D.C., but we do consider him one of the good clowns. Like, we would ride in the clown. If he were driving it, we would hop in. Representative Andy Biggs back on the show. Hey, Biggs.
Hey, Jimmy, good to be with you. And I do have my clown car driver's license, and I'm pleased to have it.
One thing I need to know, is this a solar-powered clown car? Because I don't want to get you in trouble with the administration.
No, it's not a solar-powered clown car because I am a Neanderthal clown. These are the Neanderthal clowns. We're driving around in unleaded gas cars.
Old school clowns. Because in the modern circus, it's different now. The bearded lady is now the bearded person.
Well, how ironic is that? Half the population is the bearded person.
Yeah, it works out. And the game has changed a little bit. The woke version of America, it's odd. Like, if you were playing woke Monopoly, no one goes to jail anymore, and you don't have to buy property. You can just squat on it, and now you own it. What a time to be alive, huh?
I'm squatting on Boardwalk, man. Yeah. I'm squatting on Boardwalk, yeah.
Hey, I own Boardwalk. Well, I'm squatting on it, so you can't bill me for anything. It's great. I just survived the D.C. swamp. I was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner this weekend.
Why'd you go?
Live. No, I like these events. I play nice in the sandbox. Because you want to know why, and I was talking to Sean Hannity about this Friday night. He's like, I can't stand those people. I never go. But I was like, Hannity, you got to understand, as Fox News, we're the away team. But we're winning in the ratings. So it's kind of hilarious that we go because 90% of the room hates us, but we're kicking their asses. So why wouldn't we go there and kind of indulge that a little bit, you know?
I think that's one of those things where you're from, okay? Mm-hmm. So I come from laid-back southern Arizona, right? I mean, it's everything's manana. So we don't look at it and we say, hey, let's go. Let's show them how much macho we are. We're like, you know, it sounds like a real bummer, man.
Well, listen, man, okay? We are wired differently because in New York, we run on adversity. Like New York, I say this to people.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's true. New York is a thinly veiled dominatrix. That's why you live here. You like the beating. They call you names. They take you money. Some guy pees on you on the subway. It's terrible, okay? But we were raised in this environment, so for some reason, we enjoy it. But I get it, Biggs. I get it. But oddly enough, like despite our disparate lifestyles, say that again.
I was going to say, you know, we like the velvet whips and the cushioned handcuffs. That's what you guys like.
Well, do we ever? But I mean, with that kind of talk, you could wind up in the Biden cabinet. He hired a lot of those weirdos. Guys stealing luggage.
Yeah.
You know, weird stuff in that administration. But what I've noticed, and we're still 6 months from Election Day, is there was an old Yogi Berra adage. He would say it gets late early around here. Okay, the Democrats are doing a lot of late in the game scare tactics now. Like I just played another clip that came down to if we don't win this election, democracy's over. We're going to lose all our fundamental rights as citizens. And, you know, obviously it's performance art and they don't mean that. But it does speak to a level of desperation that this is the play they're staging 6 months out. Does it not?
Yeah, it does. They're scared to death. They're now starting to believe the polls because in places like Arizona, Trump's got a five or six point lead now, and then you throw in RFK Jr. there, and all of a sudden it looks like it's 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. You get Jill Stein, the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas person just arrested right on campus. She's on the Arizona ballot. So in some of these swing states, they know that there's a real tough time for Biden to get over that. Plus, he's just down on the issues. On the issues, he's down, and he's also down on his capacity. They look at it and they say he can't be president anymore. It's obvious he can't be president. I mean,
he's
you see him with the vets. He was had his back to the veterans. He thought he was looking at something. I don't know what he's thinking. You know, Jill had to turn him around. No, these are the fellas you're supposed to be talking to.
It was sad. But you understand, too, when he's looking at the veterans, he's also making sure there are no cannibals on the verge of attacking them. So
He was scouting. Oh, no, there's a pot. There's a fire and a pot on it.
He's playing defense to make sure that, you know, the cannibals aren't coming like they did for his uncle. That's the part of this that's so absurd. So it's like you got the guy walking around saying cannibals ate his uncle. He drove an 18-wheeler. He was bragging about the Secret Service saving lives when he was a senator. But he didn't have a Secret Service detail as a senator, so that's a bit of a problem. So there's only one direction they can go in. But what I'm fascinated by is it's so early in the race for them to be doing this. I don't see how they can expect this to carry any water 6 months from now, 4 months from now, 3 months from now. But I don't know where else they would go, I guess. Let's just have some fun. If you're a Democratic surrogate right now, what is the sell if you don't do the performance art, democracy's on the ballot, we're all going to die? Do you harp on the positives? Like, one positive. Can I give you a positive?
What is it?
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
And I've said this before. Arson. Remember the crime known as arson? Okay. Arson is actually down because no one can afford to burn down your house at these gas prices. Maybe you make that sell.
The crime formerly known as arson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biden lowered crime because people can't afford gas to burn down your house.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Is it not crazy? Yeah. I mean, And you've got unrest on the campuses. You've got, California, Gavin Newsom, he's stuck now. He can't bring their multi-billion dollars, tens of billions of dollars of state debt down. So what he wants to do is he wants to commission a new coin. Mm-hmm. A new coin for California. You see this?
Yep. What is that?
Yeah, I think it's going to have a pile of human feces on one side and an open border on the other side.
Oh, no. Can you use that coin to rent a U-Haul to move out? Because that seems to be the new national pastime.
So in Arizona right now, to get a U-Haul back to California, it's like $29 because nobody's going that way.
Wow. But think about that. That's an old joke about like how, somebody can, charge you to get out. Okay.
Yeah.
When you hear states proposing exit taxes, okay, we're going to tax people fleeing the state. They're literally charging you to leave.
Oh, honey, I'm running through the roadblock. I'm not going to pay that $500 to leave the state. I'm out of here.
There's more money to be made in charging people walking out the door. I've never seen anything like this. But that, speaks to the divide right now.
Wait a second. I thought the last time you did a comedy club appearance, the cover charge was on the exit.
Oh, there it is, Biggs. There it is. There, you know what? It took a minute. We knew we were going to have a cheap shot, Biggs.
Come on.
Get him out of here.
I kid, but we do have to do this again because I'm going to lose you to a commercial break. So we started a little late, but I'm happy to hear you're still yourself, Biggs. This matters. I was down in the swamp. I see how it can affect people, but you still got the old fastball. My last question is, are you watching with bated breath to see what happens with this protest deadline today? Because I don't, these universities haven't really shown a lot of teeth. And as a comic, it's so funny to me because Columbia wasn't booking comedians because they told us speech is violence. And now they've got 1,000 kids camping out to chant death to Israel, which I got to be honest is a lot more violent than anything that was in my act.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. I'm not watching with bated breath. What I'm watching with bated breath is these kids who want amnesty. I mean, to me, that is just absolutely they're starting to realize, I might not get my graduation. I might not get into grad school. This might follow me. I got to make sure I get amnesty for getting arrested for speaking for hate and for genocide.
Yep. And think about it. That's the insanity of this, though, because the people, they were the ones behind cancel culture. It was like, you tweeted something we didn't like. You should lose your job forever. But
exactly.
But if we camp out for 2 weeks chanting death to Israel, cut us some slack. Those 2 weeks were taken out of context. It's insane. It's insane, Biggs.
All right.
Keep playing good ball. I'll see you soon, brother, man.
Yeah. Take care, man.
Be well. The great Andy Biggs. There he goes. There we go. Back after this.
It's the number one children's show in the country.
He's a lot better at radio than he is being a dad.
Oh, snap.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We were talking about the fact that the Democratic playbook, 6 months out from Election Day, has already turned into, vote for us or the country's going to end. Women are going to lose their rights. You're all going to be rounded up. Here's James Carville. James Carville on Twitter, okay, not making the case, because Biden understands to seek re-election right now is the least popular incumbent to ever seek re-election. Okay, so there's really not a sale to young voters. You can't say, you got to vote for this guy. Look at the good job he did. Okay, because none of them want to vote. He's losing massive support with the people who turn out traditionally for the Democrats. Okay, young voters are not excited about this election. Black voters, not excited about this election. Latino voters, not excited about this election. What do all three groups have in common? They're the ones that carry these elections for Democrats. Okay, and in this instance, they don't think the guy in office is getting the job done.
A three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S, jobs.
So here is James Carville resorting to a little bit of what I played you earlier from MSNBC, which is the gloom and doom pitch, clip 8.
If they get a hold, there will be no government left, there'll be no rights left, you'll live under theocracy, you'll end up Christian nationalism, but that's all right, you little 26-year-old, You don't feel like the election's important to me. They're not addressing the issues that I care about.
I mean, dude.
This guy's a serious ass.
She's now cursing out young voters. You'll end up living under Christian nationalism. What does it even mean? What, it'll say in God we trust on the money? Like it has since the actual first day our currency was printed. I mean, come on, there'll be no rights left. You'll live under a theocracy. Okay, this is what they're down to. Vote for us, you'll have no rights. You'll be in a fundamentalist religious camp. That's what they're, and why? Why is James Cameron, it's James Carville, but equally Hollywood actor.
Oh, Lordy Lord, he's desperate.
Totally desperate in this moment.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Back in action. For a big third hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. As you know, I was down in the D.C. swamp this weekend, touring the White House, hanging out at the Correspondents' Dinner on the red carpet. Kevin Walling was one of my guests. He will stop by in this hour to kind of wrap up the festivities and give you some inside baseball as to what's going on in the Biden White House, where as we speak, there are reports that Karine Jean-Pierre could be out of a job if the administration has their way.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
This is, of course, near and dear to my heart because Friday night I got to hang out with KJP. I was there at the White House when Marine One landed on Friday. I saw her walk off the helicopter with Biden, make sure he was going in the right direction and all that jazz. Okay, but then I actually saw her at, you know, one of the big Hollywood agency parties Friday night, and she was very polite. She was sweet. She was not a jerk. She was not contentious in any way. Okay, I have met other press secretaries at this dinner, including Jen Psaki.
Psaki sucks. Kaylee was so much better.
Well, no, this is the Psaki story, if you didn't hear it the first time I told it. In 888-788-9910, if you want to tell any stories or throw the challenge flag at some of mine. It's how we roll. It's a talk show. Everybody's got a voice. But I met Jen Psaki 2 years ago at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. She was sweet as pie. I met her at a party the night before the dinner, and she was sweet as pie. Okay, very pleasant. Emily Campagno and I talked to her. The next night, we saw her at the actual Correspondents' Dinner when the cameras were on, and she looked at me with this look of, don't you even effing acknowledge me, you loser.
That's just how white folks will do you.
Because that was the performance art, Jen Psaki. When the cameras are on, we hate you people. But when the cameras are off, like, hey, my man, how's it going over there at Fox? That's how it works. KJP, to her credit, I saw her the night before the Correspondents' Dinner, syrupy sweet. She recorded a video on my cell phone that we played on the TV show Saturday night. And then when I saw her Saturday night on the red carpet, she came over and said hello as well. Unfortunately, we were unable to tape her because in the process of her saying hi, I wound up interviewing Lester Holt from NBC, Al Roker, and Savannah Guthrie, people who you are not familiar with seeing on the Fox News Channel. But we play nice in the sandbox over here. And we talk to as many people as we can because we're just out here in service of a good time. But when it comes to KJP, yes, she is someone I would love to run into again at a cocktail party. Would I want her as the spokesperson for my presidential administration?
The answer would be no.
She's often looked like she was in over her head. And according to this New York Post report, okay, KJP's bosses were unhappy with her habit. She was reading prepared answers out of her binder. You've probably heard that before, okay? And they viewed that as her failing to make an adequate case for Biden, and they're trying to blame her for the fact that the president is as unpopular as he is. Now, this is obviously idiotic because this lines up with this other White House tactic, which is to yell at us about the economy, saying we don't know how good we have it. It's a messaging problem. When in reality, people don't base their opinion to the economy based on the messaging that comes from the White House press briefings. They base their opinion of the economy based on the message that comes from their bank balance, that comes from the cost of groceries when they're at the checkout lane. It doesn't matter what the White House tells them. Okay, if you're spending an extra 25% every time you go to the grocery store and someone gets up to the podium and goes, the economy's good.
It's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
Straight up, okay? It's, you know, means nothing. But they're blaming her for the president's lack of popularity. And understand, for this story to be out there, okay, that means it was strategically leaked because they couldn't get her out. So now they're hoping maybe this they'll shame her into resigning. They don't want it to be her call. So as the report goes, and I do find this to be fascinating, okay, that the people within the White House who made these diversity hires, who wanted people who checked boxes more than people who were eminently qualified to do the gig. This is what I'm with Pete Buttigieg. They wanted a gay transportation secretary. So they literally took a guy who, as the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, couldn't handle the pothole problem. They called him Pothole Pete because of how bad the roads got under Pete Buttigieg. But they took Pothole Pete, a guy who couldn't handle the roads in South Bend, Indiana, and made him the transportation secretary in charge of every single road in America.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Weapons grade stupid. As it pertains to KJP, nice gal. Not particularly good at being a White House press secretary. Okay? But because they wanted a black lesbian to be the White House press secretary, and they made it a point to tell us that, we're going to have the first openly black lesbian White House press secretary, they didn't really do their due diligence on finding people who were eminently capable, I think is what they're running into in this moment, is that KJP is often being forced to resort to a binder to answer questions. And she's often not answering them. She's saying things like, well, I'd refer you to these people. I'd refer you to those people. Now, Dana Perino has come on the air as a former White House press secretary herself and spoke openly about the fact that the administration is putting KJP in a terrible position, if only because they're not arming her with the information she needs to answer some of these questions. And when you couple that with the fact that Biden is the most historically unpopular president to ever seek re-election, you come to realize there's not a White House press secretary out there that's going to look good doing this job.
I think he's got a point.
Yeah. And the point is,
Biden sucks.
Okay. So we might get frustrated with KJP. We might think she's particularly bad at the gig. But where this becomes hilarious is they made this bed. They made this bed of DEI, where if you start hiring people for their skin color and you say that that is the biggest qualification for the job, then if it comes time to fire them because they're no good at the job, it looks like you're also making a decision based on their skin color.
Bingo.
And that's why they can't just flat out fire her. So as the story goes, they were trying to get KJP a side gig, meaning get her a gig in media, get her something that would not make it look like a firing so much it was as a graceful exit where she could leave the way Psaki did. Understand that Jen Psaki was at the podium taking questions from NBC while she was negotiating a media deal with NBC. Think about the insanity of that. But they don't have that luxury for KJP because there's no market for KJP's services, okay, as it pertains to cable news commentary. Is she trying to create one? Probably. Why do I say that? Because 2 years ago, when Jen Psaki was on the verge of leaving the White House for a media gig, where did I meet her? At the media party the night before the White House correspondence dinner. Where did I meet KJP this past Friday? At the big media party the night before the White House correspondence dinner. Which would tell me she's in the same position Psaki was. Now, Psaki wasn't being forced out. She was just trying to leave while there was still a market for her services because she could see that the administration was tanking. I mean, tanking. Okay, and she got out while the getting was good. KJP doesn't really have a market right now for a commentary gig. So she's out there pressing the flesh trying to create one. And to be clear, she was very nice to me. Very nice. Okay, I couldn't say a bad word about her personally. Do I think she's particularly good at the job? No, I think she's terrible. But I think she's also in a really difficult scenario because she's got the worst president who ever lived who happens to be the guy she's the face of.
I agree with that.
Oh, he's terrible. Biden is terrible. Okay, when you get past the dementia okay. And the, you know, my uncle was eaten by cannibals. I used to drive an 18-wheeler. You know, this is my Secret Service. He didn't have Secret Service as a senator. It's all lies. Okay? But when we're down to, you know, vote for me or there's not going to be a democracy anymore, you realize the guy pushing that story is in a really desperate spot. And if that's where you find yourself as a candidate, every one of your surrogates are going to look bad too.
He knows what he's talking about.
So part of the reason they want to get rid of her is, yes, she's bad at the job, but they're also trying to put a fresh face on the administration. They can't put a fresh face on Biden. He's on like his third facelift and he's in his late hundreds. Okay, but if they could get a new press secretary, if they could change the energy of this thing without alienating their voters, they'd be in good shape. The problem they have is if you tell us everything in this day and age comes down to identity. Don't forget, the Democratic message now is screw Martin Luther King in a roundabout way. We are not living in an America where we judge people by the content of their character instead of the color of their skin. We're literally living in an America where a major portion of the Democratic Party has now decided that Hamas terrorists are the good guys simply because they have darker skin than the Israelis that they attacked. Okay, well, the light skins are the oppressors, the dark skins are the victims. So if the dark-skinned people fly over the wall and kill 2,200 innocent civilians, they must be doing the Lord's work, okay? That's the kind of nonsense they're telling us at these pro-Hamas protests. But you understand, in a world where identity constitutes everything, you can't fire KJP. Because the Democrats' whole pitch for another 4 years is everyone is a bigot but us.
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
But now that the story has been leaked, the White House and the Deputy Press Secretary, Andrew Bates, is now being forced to reject the claims. This is the direct quote. Not only are these claims wildly false, but the reality is the polar opposite. Karine was never approached by anyone with such a message. She spends 4 hours preparing every day. And no one ever did such a thing when it comes to finding another job for her. Okay. Every press secretary uses a binder. Why is she being singled out?
That is so embarrassing.
Because what is he saying? Oh, what's so different about this press secretary? The first black press secretary. Why is she being singled out for using a binder? Other people have used a binder.
The left weaponizes race whenever they're losing an argument.
Okay, understand that other press secretaries have used a binder if they were trying to look up a quick fact to make sure they were giving you something accurate. She is literally using a binder for, like, it feels like 90% of the questions she's taking. It's not true, but comparatively to other press secretaries, it feels like it's all she ever does. The optic is a bad one, especially when none of the answers coming out of that binder are good ones, okay? Biden sucks. By default, if you're going to be his press secretary, you suck too. So if the Democrats, who are basically running on the whole battle of the soul of our nation because everyone else but us is a white supremacist, that's a losing argument because most people don't care anymore. Racism is not a top 15 issue in the 2024 election. No one even cares, okay? We are so far past race in this country because we're the most integrated society the world has ever seen. Okay, we are the most tolerant and inclusive society the world has ever known. Racism being a byproduct of ignorance, it was able to exist for generations because people living segregated lives hated people, feared things they didn't know anything about. But once we integrated society and came to quickly realize all humans have the same needs, we want to get paid, we want to get laid, okay? We want to keep our family safe, we want to eat good food, we want to travel, we want to laugh, we want to watch shows we enjoy, okay? That's not unique to any one race. We're all doing the same stuff. Okay, and we know that as a people now. So the racism card just doesn't work the way it used to. Okay, but because such a key percentage of their constituency are stupid people who can be race baited into doing anything because they love the racist allegation because it makes them feel better about themselves. Low information idiots whose emotions are their facts love taking political positions that make them feel better about themselves. That's why you have pro-Hamas protesters. Okay, low information, stupid people, okay, are willing to believe Hamas is somehow a victim in a war that started with them violating the terms of a ceasefire and killing 2,200 civilians. You have to be uniquely stupid to support that. Okay, but that's exactly what they're supporting in this moment. Okay, but that's exactly who voted for Biden. The people who said KJP had to be the White House press secretary because she was a black lesbian. Okay, that's the orthodoxy they support. Okay, your skin color completely dictates your value to society. If you were a member of a previously aggrieved class, that means you're now superiorly, you know, uniquely qualified to lead us because you see the world through a truth the rest of us haven't lived yet. Okay, that's the reality they went with. And the good news for them is it works. The bad news is for them is it worked. And now they're stuck with a press secretary they can't get rid of.
A show with substance and style.
This is my oldest guy in the boy band look.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
He's a good looking Italian.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Going to talk to Kevin Walling in a little while. And at the end of the hour, I will share the biggest surprise from my trip to the White House this past Friday. If you missed it, we posted a lot of the hits on foxacrossamerica.com. And in this coming week's edition of Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, you'll see Dennis Quaid, who is playing Ronald Reagan in an upcoming film, and you will also see extended footage from my day at the White House. It was pretty intense. They showed me a good time. It was great. And it is, of course, a high honor to be invited to the White House, no matter what you think of the president. Oh, I'm not a huge fan of Biden, to be very clear. Definitely not at the top of my list.
Come on, man.
No. But here is Biden making news. Last week, he went on a show. If you're under 40, probably 45, Howard Stern has a show on Sirius. And Howard Stern had a huge, huge, huge career in broadcast media. At one point, he fancied himself the king of all media. And he used to have Trump on his show just about every week. They were great friends. Okay. And understand, you know, if you watch the movie Private Parts, which was made about Howard, it was a massive hit. Okay, it chronicles Howard's rise as like an outcast who questioned the elites and fought with the FCC into like a cult figure for the little guy, you know, the little dirtbags that came on the show, the angry dwarfs of the world, okay, the weirdos, you know, the kibasa queens, stuff like that, you know what I'm saying?
Hubba, hubba.
Anyway, stick with me, okay? Howard's whole, you know, fight for free speech, stick it to the man ethos is what made him huge, but now he's out there shilling for the man at every turn. So he had Joe Biden on the show. But here he is speaking to Biden and Biden making some news by saying he'd debate Trump. Clip 13.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
I don't know that that's true.
You don't have a clue.
Okay, but of course, Trump responded to that immediately. You know, Friday night he was like, I'll debate him tonight at the courthouse after my trial wraps up. And I don't doubt that he would. But I can't confirm that the Biden White House is actually going to let him debate. He's a mess, and they're being very careful with his availability. When the New York Times is slamming the White House for not giving Biden enough availability, and they're not even there to ask tough questions, okay? The New York Times, for all intents and purposes, has been a shill for this administration. They were part of the people who killed the Hunter Biden laptop story. They told you it was Russian disinformation. You can't share this in the run-up to an election. And then when the election was over, what did they say? Oh, yeah, by the way, the laptop was real.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
But if the garbage is fed up with the president, that means his behavior is trash. We'll get into it with Kevin Walling. He worked on the Biden campaign. He joins us next on Fox Across America. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. If you watched me live from the red carpet down in D.C. over the weekend, you certainly saw a lot of my next guest. No, it's not Katie Pavlich. It is Kevin Walling, who joins us now on the phone. Hey, girl.
Boy, I wish I was Katie. Everyone has to settle for me.
No, you stop it. You are nobody's consolation prize, Kevin Walling. You are, but I am, as I texted you, disappointed that I didn't get to see Cocktail Kevin. How were the after parties?
Oh, they were a blast. They were a blast over at the Swiss and then the French, and ooh, made it up in the morning to go hang out with the British, who love you from that interview with Dame Karen, too.
Well, Dame Karen kicked all kinds of ass, although I do think she wanted to destroy my Harry and Meghan video.
Well, no comment, to quote her.
You were instructed by the palace to not comment. I love this so much. And yes, the Irish ambassador was a doll as well. No, Walling, you really were quietly like the MVP of that thing, because you were, you know, shepherding a lot of guests our way. And what's funny, the audience doesn't know this, is you attempted to get me an interview with Fetterman, but you didn't realize Fetterman was actually just talkative. He was hanging out.
He was totally game for everything. I didn't realize you guys already talked. I brought him back.
I know.
And you're like, what are you doing? We've already talked to him. And I was like, oh, wow, this guy's legit. I mean, I love the guy.
Yeah, he actually is good. It's funny, because I could sit here as a Republican and tell you I'm glad he won that Senate race, because Dr. Oz was terrible. What's he going to do, sell Pennsylvania?
Well, again, I think to your point, I mean, Fetterman's, you know, surprised a bunch of people, right?
Yep.
Steadfast support for Israel, calling it like it is. Mm-hmm. I love his wife Giselle too, is awesome. She was there, and joined him. So he's a really good guy and a good member of the Senate.
Yeah, no, he is. And it makes me feel good to be able to praise a Democrat from time to time. You know,
we'll take anything we can get these days.
At this point, I wish I had more Republicans I could praise. I don't like anybody.
Get this. I'm loving Mike Johnson these days.
Well, of course you are.
Speaking as a Democrat who's actually getting stuff done through Congress.
Yeah,
so that might get him in trouble. So
yes.
I think I should probably just say I hate the guy, and that helps, you know, the Marjorie Taylor Greene people. But to me, he's doing a great job as Speaker.
Now, it depends on the affiliate. So WGAU down in Athens that's listening right now, they don't want to hear the Mike Johnson praise. Other affiliates do. That's the joy of syndicated radio. You got a little bit of everything sprinkled in here.
We're
all over the map. But our mission for coexistence was a smash hit this past weekend. We hung out with everybody. We had NBC on. We had The Daily Show on. It was great.
It was a total blast. I mean, it was amazing. You got Al Roker, you know, the NBC team, the Daily Show team. Like I said, those two ambassadors. I mean, you were everywhere, and it was such a blast, especially going live for those 2 hours.
Yeah, it was cool. I don't know whose idea it was to give us that. But we did them proud. Like, we survived. And the whole thing was so wildly unscripted, because you can't, there's nothing you can script in that environment, you know? And that was like,
you don't know who's coming by. You don't know who's next. You don't know what's going on. You don't know. Yeah, you know, what protesters throwing themselves on the ground in front of us, you know? It was wild and crazy.
So this is what people need to know. We're talking to the great Kevin Walling. When we went off the air Saturday night at 11 p.m., president's leaving the room, you know, celebrities are getting out of there, go do another line of cocaine in the bathroom, you know, Hollywood does, you know. It was so funny because there was so many TV people there. I was like, this is like 93% of the world's Ozempic consumption under one roof.
People are looking pretty skinny these days.
Are they ever?
They're looking pretty good.
It's unbelievable, the level of skinny in there. But as they come rolling out, is like literally the second our show signed off, there were two pro-Hamas protesters who got
literally throwing themselves on the ground.
On the ground and screaming at the Secret Service, saying they were being hurt and their ribs. The Secret Service wasn't even touching them. They were just looking at them and laughing at the insanity of this. But they were like, ah, you're hurting me.
If only they were 2 minutes earlier, they would have been live on Fox with Jimmy.
They could have been the last guest of the night. Are you telling me you wouldn't have grabbed the stick, Mike, and gave it to them?
Of course. It was madness,
but it was nice. It was a good hang. And I like, you know, I do this every day on the show. You don't get to do as much of it on TV as I do on the radio, but the whole, you know, we're all in this thing together type vibe is a vibe that would help the country, because when you're so bitterly political and divided, that also means it's emotional. And when it's emotional, you don't make smart decisions.
Totally.
That's it. You get it, Wally.
Totally.
It's just us. Yeah.
And it starts, like I said, as you know, at home with Alex. You know, if I don't get bipartisanship and country stuff, you know, first, you know, I'm out of my bed.
Think about that. Kevin Walling is married to a Republican. Think about that, folks. You talk about
a diehard Republican.
Yeah.
A diehard Republican, not just, you know, who worked for the Republican State Party and the Republican National Committee.
Yeah.
So
he's committed. And I met the lovely Alex Friday night. We might have been at the Four Seasons Hotel. Is that where we were?
That's right. That's right.
Fabulous. I was all over the map. So throw me this, okay? I don't know that you have the inside scoop on this, but there was this White House report that they wanted to get KJP out of there. Now, what I did find fascinating is I ran into KJP Friday night at a party where she was very much pressing the flesh as if she might be looking for a media job. I don't know that you'd have that intel. But what do you make of the report? Do you think there's any appetite behind the scenes to put a fresh face behind the administration?
Yeah, and listen, I'm not going to, like, do talking points and stuff like that here. I don't think the New York Post has that much of a insight in terms of what's going on, you know, behind the scenes at a Biden White House.
Yeah, I would agree
with that.
I give
a little bit more credence if it was Politico, New York Times, Washington Post, what have you. So that being said, the article quotes, like, senior leadership in the White House. Now, if the chief of staff, you know, if the senior counsel or the head of communications wants you out, you're out, right? You know, you don't get to say no.
Yeah.
So I don't give it a lot of credence, you know, and they're trying to line people up according to this story to hire KJP and stuff like that. I don't think that's necessarily the case because it's also an unforced error on behalf of this White House, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of D.C. parlor game stuff. You know, every press secretary you could ask, Dana Perino, you know, was at all of those parties going back, you know, when she was in office with President Bush and stuff like that, not looking for another gig necessarily.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of time before she joined the Fox fam.
Yep.
Right. But again, I don't give it a lot of credence.
Fair. We're talking to Kevin Walling. He knows things. What I find interesting in this moment is there's definitely, you know, because we're 6 months.
In the heat of it.
I mean, but it's nuts that we're here because we got a long way to go, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it'll seem fast when it's over, but I don't know that it will because we haven't ended either of our last two elections, meaning when the 2016 election was over, we had a significant percentage of the left saying it was stolen. Obviously, when the 2020 election was over, we had a significant percentage of the right saying it was stolen.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're still arguing about both of these elections. I mean, the Stormy Daniels hush money was the 2016 election. That's on the docket.
Still going on.
Yeah, we've never gotten a reset. So what, like, one of the things I think would be so cool is, do you remember when someone won an election and fell off the face of the earth for like a month and a half? And then in the first week of January, they were on like the cover of Time magazine, taking a train to Washington for the inauguration. And we were like, okay, we're doing this now. I think whoever wins should get off the grid, like no social media for a month, and should give the country a reset. Could you get behind that?
I'd love that. And again, like, you know, I work in political consulting. It used to be back in the day, people would zero in after Labor Day, right, in September. You'd spend most of your campaign dollars then on TV, messaging, all that kind of stuff, door knockers. Now it's 24/7. It's, you know, we got a four-year presidential term, and they're right out of the gate still doing it. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, I think when he was elected in 16, like the day after he was elected, then filed for reelection and started that process again. Same with Joe Biden, right? So it's like there is no break anymore.
Yeah.
And it's even worse if you're in Congress, right? Because that's a two-year term. You get elected, then you start calling people for money immediately and campaigning and TV ads and paid media. So, you know, I totally get the collective exhaustion bit about all of it.
Yeah, that's why it is also true why it's like as divided as it is. Because most people in the age of social media, like we work, this is what we do for a living. But most of the people on Twitter are doing our job in addition to their job for free.
Yeah.
Everyone has a full-time non-paying job as a political analyst now. And it's like an awful way to live. Like, we at least get to go to all these open bar events. I don't know what the rest of you people are thinking.
That's how we deal with it.
Thank you.
But, you know, I mean, we see it too. Like, you know, who could forget the Malaysian flight, right? Everyone became a pilot expert, right? Aerodynamics expert.
Yep.
Where's the plane? You know, whenever, you know, everyone was a doctor come COVID, you know, with their thoughts and stuff like that. So I feel like, to your point, it never stops with politics, right? And pontificating and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just going to be a slog.
Thank you. And I think in terms of, you know, the Trump go forward, because he's got all these trials going on. He's got the Supreme Court immunity deal going on. I think most of this stuff is going to play out after the election. Because there's like there's just so much happening right now. And on some level, I feel like it would be more effective if he was on trial for one thing, because it's kind of cartooned in number. by the fact that it's we've never indicted a president once. He's now been indicted 91 times. It's like the threshold kind of loses its significance. You know, the comparison I always make is if I came home tonight with one stripper baby, I have a problem. But if I come home with 22 stripper babies, I have a reality show. You know what I'm saying?
And that's a whole lot of college you got to pay for.
Yeah. And now, but Jenny's now making Bravo money. She doesn't care. You know what I'm saying? She gets that Bravo money. She probably gets an HGTV show out of it because she's handy. You know, so I think deviant acts are in multiplication become less offensive. And I think that's where all these Trump indictments aren't moving the needle as effectively as they would be if there was one like trial of the century plan out.
Well, and to your point, too, hits on the former president often don't land as well because there's just so many of them.
Yeah.
Right. You know, he zeroed in on crooked Hillary emails. One thing. Boom. Right. Mm-hmm. And that resonated with people. He's got so much stuff going on, personal life, business life, politically, in terms of what he's running on and stuff like that, that it's all this, you know, chorus, right? Uh-huh. And against your point, too, you know, he had a Supreme Court hearing over his immunity the same day as one of the, you know, hush payment election interference day trials that he couldn't get out of New York to go sit in the Supreme Court for one of those hearings as well. So it's just – it's going to be constant.
Well, I will –
certainly.
Well, I will have you know, and maybe you can sign off on this. In this coming weekend's edition of Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, because it's the Kentucky Derby and Trump once gave a pretty derisive nickname to Stormy Daniels on Twitter, we are playing a game this Saturday night, a quiz game called Horse Race or Horse Face, where the contestants will have to guess if this is the name of a championship racehorse or the title of a Stormy Daniels movie.
This is incredible. I cannot wait to tune in 10 p.m. on Saturday.
This is
It better not have as much ratings as we had last weekend.
Nothing
but
could.
Everyone should watch that, though, too. But that sounds like an awesome freaking game.
This is the highbrow intellect we bring to the airwaves on Saturday nights.
But that's the exhaustion that we're all feeling, that's why we need you in this outlet.
Hey, girl!
Your radio show and Saturday nights where it's a safe space. You have me on as a strong-as-hell Democrat. We have a bunch of fun, and we need that more than freaking ever.
America. That's it, Kevin Walling. Great
stuff.
Great stuff. Stay away from my wife. I'll talk to you soon.
No promises.
The best. There he goes. The great Kevin Walling. And, yes, that's a real game. That we're building out for Saturday night in honor of the Kentucky Derby, horse race or horse face. Because Trump famously referred to Stormy Daniels as a horse face, which I want to make a point. Okay, Donald Trump doesn't drink alcohol. Okay, making him the one sober person I know who woke up with someone they consider to be a horse face. That usually doesn't happen without booze.
That's true. That is true.
But we will celebrate it nonetheless this coming Saturday. When we come back, I reveal the biggest surprise to visiting the White House. I was there on Friday. They graciously showed me around. And there was one thing I came across during my travels that patently blew me away. I will share it with you next.
The show that's not afraid to hit the road.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. We are in the bottom of the ninth of the festivities. Back in action on a Monday after a long weekend in D.C. We have had a phenomenal show. All right, well, we had a pretty good show. I'm not going to sit here and fight with the control room over their opinion of my show. Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, live on the red carpet this past week, took me to the actual White House, which is, you know, big deal, man. You grew up in Levittown. I had a real affinity for the presidency because of Ronald Reagan. I worshipped Ronald Reagan. He was like my first president of age. I was born in 1976. So by the time I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old, Reagan was already, you know, at his first term in office. In fact, he was shot at the Washington Hilton, which is where I spent the weekend. There's actually a plaque there from where, you know, Ralph Hinckley shot him. And it was such a significant part of my upbringing and coming of age as like an American patriot that there's always been a special reverence for the event and for Washington and for the White House. So to go to the White House, first and foremost, was an incredible privilege. And I cannot thank the administration enough for having us. It was also pretty mind-blowing that a good percentage of the staff there watches Fox, because if you work in politics, of course you watch Fox News, with the biggest political channel in the world. So it's wild to walk into the White House, something you have, you know, held in the highest of regard your entire life, and know that the people there know who you are. It's actually crazy. It's not exciting. It's crazy. It blows your mind, like it all feels like some type of a weird dream. But I started off today's show by telling you I would reveal the most surprising element of visiting the White House. And do you want to know what it is? It's the quiet. So this is going to sound really strange, but when you get through the security checkpoints at the White House, the minute you're through those guard booths, you're just on the premises with a credential around your neck, free to walk where you're supposed to walk. Is there Secret Service everywhere? Yes. Long guns everywhere. Anti-aircraft guns on the White House. It's pretty intense in terms of security. We even saw a dog on the front lawn thinking it might be Commander.
That can't be good.
But it wasn't, the dog that bit everybody. But there is such a stunning sense of quiet. The sprinklers are on. You don't even hear them because the campus is vast enough. The lawn is big enough that everything happening is so spread out, you don't actually hear it. Like, there'll be a news reporter on the lawn doing a TV hit with a camera pointed at him, and you don't hear him from your side of the lawn, from your other end of the driveway. Okay, I could be interviewing Peter Ducey. The people working the grounds crew don't hear us. We don't hear them. Like, there was a point where, like, a leaf blower was on and you didn't hear it from the other side because it's that spread out and that quiet in a really eerie way. Like, I would imagine if you were there in the late 90s, you could actually hear Bill Clinton hitting on the interns.
I believe that together we can make America great again.
Except the place is spread out enough that you couldn't hear it, so nobody knew what was going on in that Oval Office pantry.
This is not okay.
Okay, but it was an okay time at the White House. But I will say, getting past the fact that people knew us, we got to watch and witness the landing of the Marine One helicopter. We saw Biden walk off of it with his cabinet. It was stunning just how quiet things actually are at the White House during the day-to-day goings-on. And we spent about 10 probably about 10 hours there over the course of the day. It was pretty intense. And we shared a lot of pictures. We will continue to post them. We haven't cleared whether or not we're allowed to post them. So if I'm not on the air tomorrow, that's why. But I do very well plan on being here. So I will see you tomorrow on the airways. Until then, be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.